Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, very good Friday afternoon, everybody. Welcome here to 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Brian Monroe back for Hawk and Crowder for the final time before they get back from vacation. And, man, I got to give credit where credit is due. We have had a strange up-and-down roller coaster ride in terms of who's producing the show the last few days. If those who've been listening at this time every day the last couple of days, we've told you that Chili Willie on Wednesday showed up with a hospital wristband on, and we weren't sure if he was going to survive the show. But the good news is he texted during the show yesterday and said he was doing better. Still at the hospital, but he's doing better.
Thank God.
And then yesterday, Danny GQ was with us, and no issues there. But for a little bit, we were concerned because Danny GQ, the way we were told the story originally, had called out on Wednesday. And we didn't know what the circumstances were. And we thought if he is out and Chili Willie had to work while coming out of the hospital, then what's wrong with GQ? Like, we were just trying to, you know, put all the pieces of the puzzle together, when in reality, just a little miscommunication, no worries. And then Dan Day just finished producing the midday show, as he's been doing recently. And he is with us for a marathon, I guess, morning into the afternoon, into the evening. So, Dan Day, we appreciate it, man. Good to have you with us. And I'm glad that we got a trooper like you working with us.
I'm excited to be here. And, of course, we both have memories together. You and I, Greg, were together on the night Zion, they announced, would get the first pick from the Pelicans. And then Brian Monroe, the genie, the genius, saying, I'm telling you, the Toronto Raptors are going to go to the finals. No one believed him at the beginning of the playoffs. I even started laughing. Next thing you know, I get a tweet the day Toronto goes into the final, says, who would have predicted it?
So, who would have predicted that?
And why not? Why not?
We're gonna, why not me? Talk,
why not? And we're going to keep it going on the basketball train probably today a little bit.
I'm down.
I think you're right. I think there are just a few different stories to talk about when it comes to the NBA and the madness that continues in this offseason. So, with that being said, we do have, we're going to get some insight on everything late in the show. So, make sure you're listening in the 5 o'clock hour, because Barry Jackson will join us then from the Miami Herald, as he has been all over the reporting in terms of what's going on between the Heat and the Thunder with the Russell Westbrook conversation. And he's out covering Heat Summer League. But that is where we have to start. Because, Brian, like, all week long, we've been discussing the possibility of Russell Westbrook coming to the Miami Heat. And we were believed, or we believed these reports that said, hey, the Heat are really the only team that is in serious discussions with the Thunder for Russell Westbrook. Yes, the Detroit Pistons may be involved. Yes, there's some outsiders that say the Magic and the Hornets could get involved if this lasts too long and they decide they want to try to take advantage of the situation. But at no point in time did anybody seriously mention the Houston Rockets. Now, in fairness, the Houston Rockets seemingly have been linked to everybody this offseason because Daryl Morey came out, and in 1 week he said, oh, everybody on our roster is available via trade. And then it was the next week, he's like, oh, wait, hold on a sec. Like, Chris Paul and James Harden, both you guys, I know there's this reported disconnect and all that. No, nothing like that. Chris Paul will be on our roster next year 100%. I guarantee it 100%. And his story changed like on a weekly basis. Like, Kevin Durant goes down with the Achilles injury, and it's like suddenly, oh, no, our roster's fine. We don't want to do anything. So, like, we don't know what to believe there, but I guess now we can understand that Daryl Morey was active trying to make changes, because last night the Woj bomb of, I don't want to say all Woj bombs, because I think that Paul George trade probably was the one that set the standard so far, but this wasn't too far behind, especially for those in Miami anticipating a Russell Westbrook related trade would land him in Miami. Well, guess what? You found out last night that the Oklahoma City Thunder agreed to a blockbuster trade that sent Russell Westbrook to the Houston Rockets, where he'll be reunited with his old friend James Harden. And the Rockets are, of course, sending Chris Paul, two protected first-round picks, and two pick swaps to the Thunder. So you've got a pair of MVPs reuniting in the backcourt. And, you know, you take a look at this offer, and you can understand why it was attractive for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Brian, what was your reaction? Let's start there. When you heard this last night, because, again, when I saw, I got the alert that Woj had tweeted about this, and I saw it, and I was like, I'm not really surprised because this offseason has been so all over the place that you come to expect the unexpected. At the same time, I was like, what? We've been talking, like, I thought it was a sure thing that Russell Westbrook was coming to Miami, and now he's going to Houston.
You text me, and I was like, damn, come on, man. I wanted to see those two pair up in the front court for Miami. But, hey, listen, I understand. Once I saw what they were getting back for him, I was like, can't fault him because, obviously, OKC is trying to build for the future. You get a couple more first-round picks. You get a couple more pick swaps. You get more cap space by bringing in a Russell Westbrook. And then also the Houston Rockets. They now get a 30-year-old point guard instead of a 34-year-old point guard that's more explosive, more athletic, better defense, bigger guy. So I understand where both of them were coming from. And then I also understand the Heat's point of view. The Heat, obviously, in their minds, weren't giving up certain players. I'm sure he won't hear which players those were. Mm-hmm. Maybe Barry's got something later in the show that can tell us, but maybe they wanted something that the Heat weren't going to move off of. And then in come the Rockets and swoop up and say, well, we got these picks. The Heat can't give you any picks, but we can give you something that you want moving forward in the future.
Yes, and those picks, I mean, Chris Paul, yes, the contract is certainly one that does not appear to be very attractive considering his age and everything. At the same time, if you're the Thunder, you got to take back the salary anyway, and he's got fewer years than Russell Westbrook does. And if you believe the reports, coming up next segment, we'll hear what Woj had to say about Chris Paul and the possibility of where he goes. But it doesn't seem like he's going to be in Oklahoma City for very long. The question is just where he ends up. But you're right. I mean, this is a more attractive offer. And so throughout today's show, I mean, there's so many different elements of this to break down. How do Chris Paul, where does he reside? And next, and then how does the duo now moving forward in Houston with James Harden and Russell Westbrook work together? Can this work? Will it be effective? Is this just a desperation Hail Mary heave by the Rockets front office in which they're just trying to salvage this championship window and keep it open a little bit longer? Or have they fallen behind? Have, in some people's opinions, maybe they moved up in the pecking order out west. So we want to get into all of that. But you're right when you talk about the haul that they got. If you look what they have now in Oklahoma City, in 2020, they've got two first-round picks. 2021, two first-round picks. 2022, two first-round picks. 2023, two first-round picks. 2024, three. 2025, one. And 2026, three.
Sheesh.
So they have as many picks as I can ever remember a team having set up for the future. They've accumulated eight first-round picks since the June 20th NBA draft, creating a long game unseen in recent NBA history with the possibility that Oklahoma City could retain its own 2020 pick, its top 20 protected to Philadelphia, and 2022 pick lottery protected to Atlanta. The Thunder could have 15 first-round picks and swap rights in four different seasons between 2020 and 2026. So that is unheard of. So I look at this situation in Oklahoma City, Brian, and one of my first reactions is, how is it that they have had such great talent over the course of these years when you talk about Durant and Harden and Russell Westbrook and Paul George and Victor Oladipo, among others, and they only got to one NBA final. So they have only one conference championship to show for it. That's the first part of it. The other part of it, though, is like, hey, if you've got to dismantle the team, they seem to be doing it the right way. But I don't know, where do you reside on that? Are you look at the Oklahoma City Thunder more as, hey, this was smart, this is intelligent, they're set up well for the future, or, man, what could have been considering this is now the end of an era with Russell Westbrook leaving the team?
Well, the only reason I think they haven't been to so many more championships is that they're in the West. Right, and you look at a team like the Warriors that have been there going to five straight, that were stacked, had their shooters. Yes, you guys had talent too, but the game evolved a little bit more and you needed more of those three-point shooters to keep up with them. The James Harden one is the one that I look at the most because with the other two, as far as Paul George leaving this offseason, he wanted to go home. You can't fault him for that. The Kevin Durant. You got to look at it as maybe he just didn't have that connection with Russ and they couldn't play together as far as being a 1A, 1B type superstars together in the team. But man, James Harden, what'd they lose him over? $5 million, $4 million? And not even over each year. 1 year. $5 million, I believe, was the number and why he walked away.
Which now seems even worse,
considering
the silly money that these guys are making.
Horrible. Yeah. But the only thing the GM has going for him, he's in a small market. If you put him in a big market, he would never get a job ever again, saying you had this talent and didn't win a championship. That's the only thing he has going for him being in OKC, because nobody really ain't paying attention to the little market guy. Now, the one thing he has proven moving forward with all the picks that he has is he can evaluate talent and draft well. The only problem is, can he keep him? I don't know. But he's not going to be able to attract a free agent superstar to come there unless he has one more superstar to bring him in, a la Russ bringing in Paul George. And he re-signed. Now he's got to go find him in the draft. Can he do it? How long will it take him to do it? Who knows? But I know one thing. OKC fans, you better buckle up, because it might be a bumpy ride for a couple of years for you.
Feels that way. And it's an interesting dynamic to see how everybody's reacting to these deals. I think we can say with certainty, as you pointed out already, that if you're the Oklahoma City Thunder, you took the more attractive deal compared to what the Heat could offer. But that's going to be part of a lot of our conversation today. Is I'm curious what everybody thinks, and we'll open the text line, Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line at 56022, is did the Heat lose out on a tremendous opportunity here because they weren't willing to part with some of the young players, or was this going to be the best offer that was provided anyway, and it wouldn't have mattered? I'm not sure. I don't know if we'll ever know that, but certainly with all of the hype that we had about Russell Westbrook coming to Miami, this does strike you as a bit disappointing. Now, with that being said, Brian, like, do you think there's a chance here that the Heat dodged a bullet? Like, because you and I were all on board for Russell Westbrook. But now that we're looking at this, and now that there's certainly a ton of people who are skeptical about the pairing of Westbrook and Harden together based on, you know, efficiency ratings and all this other stuff and how ball dominant both players are, do you think this could be a blessing in disguise for the Heat, considering unless something else happens and they stand pat right now, that they will have an opportunity to be a player in 2021, which will be a massive free agency class?
I mean, I always think they're going to be a player no matter what, if they brought in Russ or not, because I feel like they would have moved Russ if they really wanted to when the time came. But did they dodge a bullet? Only time will tell, because you always want to get all NBA caliber superstars on your team when you can. Unfortunately, they didn't want to give up some promising young stars, and that's on them. In my opinion, I would have gave them up, depending on what they were asking for. Now, I wouldn't have given up all three, but I would have gave up two of the three, most likely. If they go ahead and all of a sudden, and Russ and James Harden become a, you know, dynamic duo, and then all of a sudden take them to the Western Conference Final in the West,
yeah,
then that means the Heat fans that said, oh, he's a bum, he's not going to be anything, they missed out. Because you're talking about being in the East now, where obviously the landscape of competition is way different now than the West. So, I mean, I hope, you know, Riley can do some things and we can bring in another superstar this offseason, because I would love to pair somebody up with Jimmy Butler. Only time will tell, but I really don't want it to be Chris Paul. I really don't.
Well, and that's what we need to get into next. So, I mean, I feel like throughout the day, we'll talk about the Rockets end of this and what could have been with Westbrook. And then now the evolution of this story has turned into, okay, Westbrook's no longer with the Thunder. He was traded to the Rockets. But it seems like, according to the reports, the Heat and Thunder are now picking up where they left off with the Westbrook conversations, but now it's surrounding Chris Paul.
Please, no.
So when we come back, we'll hear what Adrian Wojnarowski has said about this possibility, and then I'll let you elaborate a little bit more on what you feel about Chris Paul. Plus, I'm sure the people who listen in our audience have a strong opinion one way or the other as well. 56022, Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. We're just getting started. So much to talk about as it relates to the Heat and the NBA. We'll come back with much more next year on QAM.
Radio.com. I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo.
We're back here on 560 WQAM. That's how you text us, 560 20. Man, I've been in this studio a lot recently.
You know it's Friday when you're messing that up, man. Yeah. You're already thinking about the weekend, some drinks tonight.
Yeah, not really. But
no, come on. No,
I'm thinking about a bunch of other stuff. But, hey, man, we got a lot to talk about in the world of the NBA. Greg Likens alongside Brian Monroe in for Hawk and Crowder. Dan Day with us as well on the other side of the glass. All right, so we have so much to talk about when it comes to Russell Westbrook and James Harden. That's kind of taken over the NBA conversation. But in reality, locally, we've got a ton to focus on when it comes to the Heat perspective on this trade. So essentially what has transpired is, you know, Barry Jackson reported yesterday that the Heat were unwilling to part with two of their three young players. So a combination of Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, and Justice Winslow. So when that took place, it sounds like Oklahoma City pivoted and decided to do this deal with the Houston Rockets. And so, you know, just reading about this, you know, ESPN's Brian Windhorst had reported yesterday that Miami was Westbrook's preferred destination. And then you have Royce Young, who covers the Thunder, tweeting last night that it was the Houston Rockets all along that Russell Westbrook wanted to go to. You also had Woj saying this was his preferred destination, even though Woj was among the national reporters that said the Miami Heat were really the ones who were most engaged. So that part of this was confusing as well, Brian, but I'm not surprised by that because we see it happen very often. And I'm not calling anybody specifically out, but I would just say this, that oftentimes, whether it's a national reporter, a local reporter, it's a radio host, even if you apply this to other aspects of your life, if you boldly proclaim something and then a different outcome results, oftentimes you modify your argument, right?
Like, yeah, you got to tweak it a little bit.
Yeah, with the result already in hand, then you can look back and say, well, actually what I meant by that was this or all this other stuff. But I felt like that happened last night where all of us were led to believe Miami Heat are bust. And then all of a sudden, Houston Rockets get the deal done. And all these reporters are like, oh, yeah, it was Houston all along. Like, no, it wasn't. Nobody said Houston all along. Like, where did that come from? Like, that's what confused me the most last night is everybody just played it off like, oh, yeah, you didn't need, don't pay attention to what I said before. This is what I'm telling you now. What's that all about?
Listen, that is the age of social media for us, right? Because everybody doesn't want to get exposed and everyone have people talk trash about them. So they're like, nah. What you meant was is the Rockets were, you know, involved the whole time, but they were that secret team that I didn't want to mention. Like, what? No. You said the Heat. Everybody said the Heat. Russ was liking all the Heat stuff. Maybe that was a smokescreen, you know, pulling a Kawhi move and stuff like that. But when it comes down to it, that deal was just better than the Heat's deal. Simple as can be. That deal's just better. The Heat weren't moving. The Rockets were willing to move and get off of theirs. And the media guys, you had to throw up your little smokescreen to say, you know what, let me just go ahead and delete this tweet so nobody sees it real quick so I don't get old takes exposed and everyone just rips me in my comment section. But yeah, that's all it is.
Not a big fan of it. I gotta admit.
Of course not.
Yeah, I think it's not the way you should do business. Now, again, I would feel differently if the reporters come out and say the Heat were actively involved, but this was a better deal.
That's it.
Right? Don't say all along this was the preferred destination of Russell Westbrook when you've indicated something else the entire time.
Not when one of you, all of you.
Correct.
All of you said that.
Yes.
And then, you know, for me, I'm one of those guys that love to go back to the tweet where they said, this is happening, it's going down, Russell Westbrook loves Miami, they're going to figure it out now. Then I just like to read the comments, everybody just ripping the person. A la our own Woj bomb over there at 790, Eric Lauzon, where he had released that they were finalizing the deal.
Keyword finalizing.
I went back to his comments. Oh, my God. I love it. I just love it.
Yeah. I mean, people don't forget anything.
Oh, they don't forget, and they can't wait to rip you. They can't wait.
Now, via Barry Jackson, who's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour, he has some of the reasons why the Heat-Thunder negotiations didn't work out. So I want to start there before we transition to Chris Paul. So he says, besides their inability to agree on players, the Heat and Thunder couldn't agree on financial issues in the deal, with Miami unable to take back contracts exceeding Westbrook's $38.5 million salary this season because the Heat is operating under the hard cap in the upcoming year. That was difficult to reconcile with OKC, which stands $2.25 million above the luxury tax threshold and wants to be below the luxury tax line. But Paul's contract won't accomplish that unless OKC trades him to a team sending less money back, which the Heat is in no position to do under the parameters of a hard cap. The Heat offer would have involved players with 1 or 2 years left on their contracts. Miami was apparently willing to send a package of 3 players, including the expiring contract of Dragic. But unlike OKC, the Heat could not offer the Thunder any draft picks because the Thunder already owns Miami's picks in 2021 and 2023 via the Clippers. And by the Heat, by league rule, was not permitted to trade another first-round pick. So Houston brought the draft picks to the table. And as you've stated numerous times already, that was a more attractive pick. Another obstacle in the Heat's talks with OKC, according to a league source, was the Thunder's request that Miami take the expiring contract of guard Andre Roberson, an offensively limited, defensively gifted player who hasn't appeared in an NBA game in nearly 18 months because of a patellar tendon injury. He's due $10.7 million next season on an expiring contract. So they're trying to stick him there as well. And there was this issue, too. Because OKC owns Miami's unprotected pick in 2021, the Thunder had incentive for the Heat to be bad in the upcoming 2 seasons, according to longtime executive that he spoke to. So the Thunder wanted to weaken the Heat as much as possible by insisting on acquiring young assets such as Hero and Winslow. So the more you hear about this, the more you're like, this doesn't make sense for the Heat to continue on with this unless you are absolutely convinced that Russell Westbrook is the type of talent that's transformative, that you can give up just about anything and you'll be better off for it. So with that being said, now there is a lot of conversation. And again, I hate to do this because we just kind of threw some of these people under the bus, but now it's the same people who are linking the Heat to Chris Paul in a possible deal, including Adrian Wojnarowski. I know we have the audio on this. Let's take a listen to what Woj had to say. He's been all over SportsCenter and ESPN since this original trade happened between the Thunder and the Rockets. Let's listen to Woj on Chris Paul and the Miami Heat.
The Thunder are going to talk with Chris Paul's agent, Leon Rose, try to get a sense of what he might like to happen here. 3 years, $124 million left on Paul's contract. It's 1 year less than Westbrook's 4 for $171 million. That goes back to Houston. But, you know, they're trying here. They're headed toward a rebuild. They still have a team this year, you know, that's competitive in Oklahoma City. It's going to be a very short list of teams, probably beginning and ending with Miami, to see if there's a deal that could possibly work with the Heat, see if they're willing to take on that money and whether they might want a draft pick with it to take on that kind of money. But they were interested in Westbrook. Houston beat him out for him. Now I think there could be a conversation to be had between Oklahoma City and Miami. Otherwise, you know, Oklahoma City would start the season with Chris Paul. You know, he actually...
Okay, so that's Woj, and we kind of cut him off there before he went on to talk about something else. But it's interesting, I heard that clip, and then I also heard when he was on Get Up this morning, and literally Laura Rutledge asked him a follow-up question after he mentioned the Heat and said, are there any other teams involved? He goes, really, right now it's just Miami. So we seem to be in that same position. With that being said, Brian, I think you and I are again on the same page with this, because you and I were both enthusiastic about the possibility of getting Russell Westbrook. Chris Paul, however, at 34 years old, 3 years, $124 million, you just heard Woj mention. I mean, this does not appeal to me whatsoever. Like, I could understand Russell Westbrook. That was exciting. A guy who's 30 years old, and yes, he's got a huge contract, but the idea of him and Jimmy Butler being your pairing for the next few years, that seemed like a risk. And when I say risk, by giving up your opportunity in 2021, that would be the risk I'm talking about. That seemed like a risk you'd be willing to take and become relevant and see what you can do in a wide-open Eastern Conference. Chris Paul, on the other hand, I don't have any interest in him whatsoever.
At all.
Yet, all of a sudden, if you believe the you know, main reporters out here, they're saying that the Heat are actively engaged with the Thunder about this.
Hell no. Can I say hell? Can I say hell no? Because I already did. Anyways, yeah. I'm going to get fired if I can.
It's too late. Dan didn't hit the dump
button.
Yeah.
All right.
You're cool.
No way am I giving up anything for Chris Paul. The only way I give anything for Chris Paul is if you're giving me a good amount of first-round picks.
Well, they've got plenty of them.
If you're not doing that, I'm not doing the deal. Okay. For everyone that was like, you can't take on Russ because he's getting old and he's this. Hey, by the way, Chris Paul's 34. Russ is 30. He's older. He's slower. He's not as athletic. His defense is worse. Like, the only thing that Chris Paul has over Russ probably is his basketball IQ, and that's it. I've never liked him since he was at Wake Forest punching dudes in the groin.
You just haven't liked him as a person?
I haven't liked him as a person or a player.
Okay.
Yes, he does the little things on the court, but he's done that.
Because I would say, you know, a few years back, you'd love to have Chris Paul on your team.
I still wouldn't. I wouldn't.
To kind of speak to what you say, Brian, when he was in New Orleans, he whined, wanted out, got out. He went to the Clippers. He whined, wanted out, got out. He went to the Rockets. He whined. They said he was going to stay, kind of wanted out. He got out. Now.
And then you see a pattern here.
See a pattern. Yeah. But also another thing is that, are we forgetting the video of Chris Paul and James Harden on the bench during the playoffs where literally Chris Paul goes to put out some pound and James Harden slaps his hand away and they're arguing? Like, people talk about Russ being a cancer to a team. I don't want that with the young guys, the way that he is so, like, what's the word I want to use for him that, you know, doesn't get me in trouble? But he's just so, like, he's the type of kid that you want to punch in the mouth most of the times that's on your team, but you can't.
He seems like, he's got some arrogance about
him. Yes.
And he seems like a little bit of a punk.
Yes.
Right?
A lot of bit. Yeah. I don't even know if I can say that, but he seems like a lot of bit of a punk. Like, I don't want that anywhere near the Heat young players, and I can see him and Jimmy going at it and fighting. While Russ, I could see Jimmy and him getting along and working well with each other. I can't see that with Chris. I don't want to take on that contract, and especially means in 2021 you miss out on some of these superstar guys for a guy that's going to be, what, going to be 36 years old at that age? No way. The only way that I want him to take on Chris Paul is for some miracle they can get enough picks or enough assets and go get Bradley Beal. Other than that, I don't want nothing to do with him. Stay over there. Riley, just turn off your phone. Enjoy Vegas and Summer League. Please don't do that.
Well, and I wonder, I mean, I'm just speculating here. Could they conjure up some sort of three-way deal where Beal comes to Miami, Paul ends up in Washington, and then you've got to send whatever you need to both places to make it work? I don't know.
That's all I want.
That's fantasy basketball.
Yeah. I don't care. I'm living in a dream right now. But other than that, I want nothing to do with him, and I wouldn't even give up justice for him. I ain't doing it.
Well, let me verbalize a lot of what you're describing, at least with some of the facts here. So you know about the salary. But here's the deal. As you just pointed out, a move to get Chris Paul now would make it impossible for the Heat to sign a maximum free agent outright in 2021. The only way they could get a max-type player would be if they were to trade, much like they did with Jimmy Butler, do like a sign-and-trade or trade for a guy, get him under your cap, and then you could pay him. But otherwise, like, they will have no flexibility in terms of all these great players are hitting the open market coming up in 2021, including Beal, Giannis, Gordon Hayward, CJ McCollum, Victor Oladipo, Andre Drummond, Rudy Gobert, LeBron also can have a player option along with Blake Griffin, Paul George, Drew Holiday, Spencer Dinwiddie. All those guys, hypothetically, could be had, and you would not be eligible to be in the mix because of your salary restrictions involving Jimmy Butler and more so Chris Paul and what you're deciding to dedicate to them. On top of that, Paul is older than Westbrook, as you mentioned. He's not productive by the same standards or as durable. Paul averaged 15.6 points and 8.2 assists for Houston last year while shooting just 41.9% from the field and 35.8% on three-pointers. And if you look, he's appeared in 61, 58, and 58 games the past three seasons. That's 69 games missed over the last three regular seasons, and he's owed $38.5 million next season, $41.3 million the following season, and $44.2 million the season after that. So, again, all of the arguments we made for Russell Westbrook, and I think those that were detractors of that idea, all said, well, he's owed too much money, and they're pointing to his stats, he's going to be too old. It's like, Chris Paul already is that old.
Exactly.
He's already that old. You were worried about that at the end of Russell Westbrook's contract. He has still got 3 years left, and he's that old to start with. So why this would even be an option for the Heat, I have no idea. I don't know why they would even consider it. Like, just because the Thunder want to get rid of him, that's not the Heat's fault. That's not anybody else's fault.
No.
Just because Chris Paul probably doesn't want to be in Oklahoma City, yeah, guess what? That's on you guys. You got to figure that out. But the Heat, by no means, should restrict their possibilities in the future for, yes, a big name, but not a big-time player anymore. He just isn't that anymore. And you and Dan pointed it out. he's got this track record where he alienates his teammates. He is clearly the classic example of a star player who's been a superstar but does not want to admit that he cannot do the same things he used to do on the court, right?
Facts.
Like that's his attitude with James Harden. Like, he's looking at James Harden, who is an excellent player and can do everything that Chris Paul, and maybe more than what Chris Paul used to do, but he is a superstar in his prime. And Chris Paul, almost my interpretation of it is like, hey, man, I'm on your level still. Why don't you pass me the ball? And Harden's looking at him like, dude, wake up. Yeah. Look in the mirror.
You ain't getting close to this,
look
my man.
Look at your injury list, too.
You ain't getting close to this, my man. And, man, please, this is going to give me a headache if they bring him over here. People are talking, oh, yeah, you're not going to be able to move Russ. And you think you're going to be able to move a 36-year-old point guard with $44.2 million left on the deal in 2021? You think they're going to be able to move that? No. Stay away. Just stay away. They struck out with Russ. Cool. You can't win them all. Keep on moving. If a deal pops up with Beal or somebody else, cool. But I think they would just really be handcuffing themselves to an older point guard that's not going up. He's definitely on the decline. And it's a lot of money to handcuff yourself for a special class that could be in 2021.
Right. And, you know, again, I don't mind if the Heat go after somebody else between now and 2021. Like, if they can get a Bradley Beal, say, next offseason, and it works out that way, then I think, you know, some people would disagree, but I think I'd be pretty happy with the Heat being able to pull that off and say, okay, that's the type of player, his age,
yep,
his potential, that I'm okay with being off the market once 2021 rolls around. But if it's a Chris Paul, like, again, if this was 5 years ago, I'd say, wow, okay, this is attractive. He'd be in his late 20s. You still see some possibilities. And, you know, 3 years, you can deal with that and pair him with Jimmy Butler. But now, I mean, we have seen him take a precipitous fall in terms of his production on the court.
Yeah.
And just, you actually, I mean, I was read a lot last night about all this. And there are some projections, we can talk about it later, that say that the Rockets can be worse with Westbrook than they were with Chris Paul. Some of these advanced statistics, because of the efficiency ratings, all this other stuff. So there's no denying that Chris Paul, to a certain degree, is still an efficient player, can still get the job done based on certain metrics. But just by the eye test, right? Like, all of us who watch basketball, you watch him when he first got to Houston versus last year, especially in the playoffs, he's not the same player he used to be. And it's disappointing if, you know, I know you never really liked him, but for those who just appreciate talent and you see a guy who used to have a ton of talent, who that talent is declining pretty quickly, that's tough to watch, right? We see it in all the different sports. But the problem is, some of these guys don't age gracefully. He's one of them. Like, typically smaller players in the NBA, they can only last so long.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, you know, kind of putting a blanket stereotype on things, but that's the way it works.
I feel like there's only a group of guys that want to play with Chris Paul, and that's the Banana Boat Crew. Other than that, ain't no other superstars want to play with him.
Well, maybe they can create a new franchise, and it'll just be Carmelo Anthony and Chris Paul on that team, and then whoever else they can get to play with.
I mean, listen, Carmelo Anthony's still there texting all the guys like, yo, what's up, man? Y'all got some space for me? I just want to come play a little bit, man. I just want to get a ring. Yo, LeBron, do something for me, man. I know you got like a million over there left.
I'm a little biased, obviously, but I still can't believe that Carmelo can't find a team. Like,
really?
He actually did what he was told to do in Houston.
That's the Syracuse speaking.
But he came off the bench. They asked him to come off the bench. He didn't demand a start. And, you know, they played limited minutes. And he was, you know, his numbers in terms of the percentages weren't great, but his numbers weren't bad in terms of his totals. And yet they get rid of him, like, basically after 10 or 20 games, whatever it was.
Let me ask you a question. How much money is he asking for?
That's a good question.
That's the question.
But at this point, I would imagine he's not asking for anything more than the minimum.
I mean, as much money as he made, I'll take the minimum real quick and be on a contender.
Right.
The only problem is a lot of these guys don't think they're worth the minimum. They think they're worth a lot more, and they won't take it. Pride gets in their way.
Well, that's why I give a ton of credit to Dwayne Wade.
Oh, my God. I mean, think about the statistic that I thought was baffling that I heard was Dwayne Wade was never the most expensive paid player on the Heat.
Correct.
Ever. That is unbelievable to think a superstar like that was never the highest paid player on his team. That's crazy. You know, people get mad at superstars all the time for taking too much money. Then people get mad at the Heat because they all took less money to play together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, can y'all be happy about something out there? Are we all grouchy about everything?
Well, not only what you said is absolutely true, but then to me, it lends credence to when Dwayne Wade decided to leave to go play with the Bulls. Because it's like, hey, the Heat every single year did not pay him as the highest paid player on this team for various reasons. But there were certain times where it's like, oh, come on, this doesn't make sense. They finally get their opportunity to do that. And they're like, yeah, we're going to go talk to Whiteside first.
That was the only time that I ever was pissed off at the front office for the Heat. I said, for everything that Dwayne sacrificed and brought to the city, to the team, your first championship, and you don't make him the highest paid player. I get it. You don't want to go do the Kobe Bryant route where they overpaid for his last couple years and he did nothing for you. But this is D. Wade, still got some years left in the tank, and he did everything for you. And he didn't give him what? They lost out on what? Because $4 million, $8 million total in the contract? $8 million, I think it was?
$8 million?
Hey, Mickey, I think he probably made you like $800 million. How about that?
I wonder, and we maybe get some help on the text line, 560-22, if there's ever been another face of the franchise that has never been the highest paid player, at least at one point on a team.
I mean, he's Mr. South Florida. He's Mr. Wade County. He and Dan Marino really are in a class of their own. Even Marino admitted in a tweet, during the One Last Dance tour that Wade was kind of in his own class there.
Yeah, I think Wade overtook him as far as the Miami icon.
Well, but the bottom line is, I mean, you're talking about not just for the Heat, but for any of the sports franchises or sports entities in our community, he's on top.
Yeah.
And then we're talking about the fact that he wasn't the highest paid guy at any point in time. But my point on Wade on top of that really was that he aged gracefully in the sense that, yeah, he had some years where he wasn't as durable or as healthy, but the last season and a half or thereabouts with the Heat, he, with open arms, accepted a role off the bench and accepted his minutes off the bench. And yes, he played in crunch time. He wouldn't start. But that's got to be difficult.
Oh, it is.
It's got to be really difficult. And so, you know, I give him all the credit in the world for accepting that role, doing it gracefully. And this is a scenario in which we have not seen some of his contemporaries be able to wrap their minds around doing the same thing. Like, I don't think Kobe would have been able to do it.
No way.
But
no way.
Even though you can look back at a lot of these guys and say that would have been the prudent thing for them to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen. It's tough for a lot of those superstar guys, those ego guys that say, oh, you want me to come off the bench? Oh, you want me to play second fiddle to that guy? Nah, you know who I am? Like, it takes a lot, like, to be the superstar that he was, to swallow his pride, take less money, come off the bench, and still be the closer for the team when you're paying all these young guys all this money that can't really close, be that killer. And I'm still the guy. And I'm teaching them. And I just do it with a smile.
Oh, and by the way, the guy that you decided to pay in that summer free agency, instead of me, he was playing 23 minutes a game, Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah, and now he's all chirping and stuff like that in interviews and on social media. But we'll get to him later.
We will. All right, Brian, let's take a quick time out. We will read the text when we come back because we got a lot of people chiming in on Westbrook, Chris Paul, the Miami Heat, everything going on. Stay tuned. We'll get to that next year on QAM.
Radio.com.
We're back here on 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Brian Monroe on this Friday afternoon in for Hawk and Crowder. Those guys will be back coming up on Monday from vacation. I'm sure they'll have plenty of stories to tell. We have a new chapter to write when it comes to the Wimbledon men because Rafa Nadal just fell at the hands of the great Roger Federer. So Federer has advanced to yet another Wimbledon men's singles final where he's going to match up against Novak Djokovic. Just looking at some of their career numbers, Federer has won 20 Grand Slams in his career, and he has won 8 Wimbledon titles. So he could potentially win 9 and 21 in total, whereas Novak Djokovic, no slouch himself, has 15 Grand Slam singles titles, including 4 Wimbledon championships. So those two will put their 35 major tournament wins combined in the final coming up this weekend. So can't wait for that. Always a class. When you get any of those three players playing against each other, you know it's high stakes and you know there are legacies at stake. and on the line. But for Federer, I mean, this is just phenomenal considering I just saw somebody tweet this out and I just looked it up because he turns 38 next month. So he's nearly 38 years old and now on the precipice of potentially winning his 21st Grand Slam title. So
I really don't think the people realize the greatness that we witnessed with the three of them in the same era. Like, I don't know another time that's ever been done in the world of tennis. And just imagine if we said this off air, one of them could play by themselves in an era and not have to deal with the other two, how much they could have dominated the sport of tennis.
Right. And heck, I mean, what if, say, Andy Murray was in a different era, right?
I mean, he might have a couple more titles.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's been a very good player, but, you know, it's difficult to compete against these types. I even think back to, you know, there haven't been a lot of recent American men's singles players mm-hmm. that have had a lot of success. But, like, think of, like, Andy Roddick. He was a very good player, but it was like he kept going up against Federer. Like, the times he would get to a final in a Grand Slam, he'd have to play against one of these guys. And it's like, oh, man, our American hope really didn't stand much of a chance.
Remember that interview one time? He was just aghast after he lost to Federer. Just said, I've tried everything. Yeah. I don't know what to do. And, I mean, you could just see the give up in his eyes. He had thrown everything at him and said, I don't even. I mean, he's like, maybe I'll never win one. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but it just goes to show you. So you're right. You can look at that a few different ways. Like Federer may have like 30 Grand Slam titles if Nadal and Djokovic or one of those two weren't playing now. And then think about some of the other guys that we overlook and maybe are pretty darn good if they were in a different era. But it's like, hey, you got to go up against three of the greats of all time. It's impressive, and you're right. We shouldn't take it for granted, but I do think a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, Federer's in it again. Of course,
yeah,
we expect
it. Yeah, don't worry about it.
Nearly 38 years old.
Unbelievable.
And then on the woman's side, you have legends playing right now, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Some of the best that we've ever seen.
Yes. Well, Serena Williams, to be sure. She's going to play Simona Halep. Simona Halep, who is the player that knocked out Coco Gauff from this tournament, who was the story of Wimbledon early on from Delray Beach, Florida. So Simona Halep and Serena Williams, that's going to be a heck of a
come on, Serena, get some South
there.
Florida revenge, baby.
There we
some
go.
South Florida revenge.
Yeah, Simona Halep, the people in Belgium, they don't understand what the South Florida angle is to all this. All right, I want to read some of these texts, Brian, because we've gotten a ton of text messages since we started the show.
Do you want a Woj water balloon before we get a text?
Please do. Yeah, pass it along.
So Woj just announced that free agent center Tyson Chandler has agreed to a one-year deal with the Rockets. So add
really?
Some center depth to the Rockets this year.
Mm, okay.
I say Woj water balloon.
I like the terminology there.
Not a bomb. It's a water balloon, but it's a nice piece right there to come off their bench.
Yeah, so he'll come off the bench because they lost Nene, right?
Yep.
So he'll be the backup center to Clint Capella, assuming they play with a center, right?
I assume that.
At times, they don't like to do that. But, okay, so Tyson Chandler, he can still protect the rim.
Exactly.
And rebound the basketball.
He can play some defense and rebound.
Nobody is ever mistaken him for some sort of offensive juggernaut.
We don't need him to score. All I want you to do is hustle, get the rebounds, play some defense.
He's going to be the guy that stays back on defense.
Straight up. That's it. That's all you need to do.
While Harden and Westbrook stay back on offense.
Yeah. He's like, all right, Tyson, you guard a few players for us, and we'll cherry pick down here.
With the way they play defense and the way they play offense in Houston, I was thinking there's an outside chance that Westbrook could be the first person to get a triple-triple.
That would be hilarious.
By the way, real quickly, ESPN Stats and Info tweets out, Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic will square off in Sunday's Wimbledon Championship. It's their 16th meeting in a major, the most between two men in the open era, and Djokovic has a 9-6 edge in wins in the previous 15. So a little historical significance there. Okay, I want to read, we'll just do rapid fire some of these text messages. Greg B. texts in and says, Chris Paul, that move would stink. He has never won anything. He gets injured every year, and he has horrible attitude. Another one says, Heat Nation is bummed Riley didn't make the move for Westbrook and allowed the Rockets to take him. Another says, I told you guys yesterday, they ain't giving away Bam and Hero, LOL.
We don't know if that was the deal, though.
We don't know either. Somebody says, bleep no, Chris Paul, unless we get first-round picks and we keep all of our players. Yeah, but even then, like, still, like, I understand there's an argument to be made there, but even if you get some first-round picks, like, I don't like the idea of eliminating yourself from contention for one of these top-level free agents in a couple of off seasons.
I'm not doing it.
Because, again, like yesterday and the day before, Brian, you and I harped on the idea of living in the moment, and things change so quickly. But at the same time, like, you can say that for a vast majority of the players in the NBA or star players in the NBA, but not for a guy who's going to be 34 years old, who has already shown that he's on the downside of his career and he's making that much money. Like, if you're doing it for a younger player with more promise that has proven more in the league, and Chris Paul's proven a ton, but I'm just saying, like, what we saw last season from Russell Westbrook was another triple-double.
Yeah.
What we saw from Chris Paul was another season in which he missed a bunch of games, he averaged less points than he had the year before, and wasn't as effective. So, yeah, I don't like that whatsoever, that idea. Another texter says, Chris Paul isn't better than Goran Dragic. Leave him where he is. I mean, Chris Paul historically is better than Goran Dragic. But if you're telling me I can have Goran Dragic for $19 million versus Chris Paul for 35 plus or whatever it is, 38 and a half, just double checking my numbers here, for half the money, I'll take Goran Dragic.
All day. Do you want an Adam Schefter water balloon?
Please.
Some local news pertaining to where he went to college. Jets tight end Christopher Herndon has been suspended 4 games for violating the NFL's policy on substance of abuse.
That's disappointing.
So a promising young tight end will miss 4 years in the NFL. I mean, 4 games this season starting. Goodness gracious. Come on. But I tell these kids all the time. I get it. You love the trees and you love everything and the drinks and stuff like that. When you get into the NFL's drug abuse policy program,
which is difficult to do, right? Like,
well, no, it's not difficult to get into the program.
Well, but I'll say this, like, you talk to guys, they know how to get by the test.
It's difficult to do when you're in the league and you're like, okay, hey, if you smoke weed, you know when the test is coming up.
That's my point.
That's what you're talking about.
It's easy to get around.
Yes, it is very easy. And that's why I don't get, but nowadays these kids are already popping at the combine,
right?
And they're already going into the program once they get into the league.
Yes.
And what people don't realize, when you're in the program, you could literally get drug tested once a week. I could be your offseason. I could just show up to your house in the offseason. You could be in L.A. and all of a sudden someone calls you and goes, hey, what's up, man? What are you doing? Oh, man, I'm on a boat. Great. We'll be at your house when you get back. What? And then also, it's not about drugs. If you piss alcohol, you're out.
If you're in the program.
If you're in the program and you're drinking alcohol too, you're out.
Can you maybe kind of dispel some of the rumors? If you're not in the program, why is it so easy? Because I've heard all these different rumors, like they give you a cell phone, they tell you we're going to call you in the next 3 days. And it's all rumor hearsay. What is kind of like the protocol for the drug testing?
Well, why don't we do this? Let's take a break, and then we'll come back and talk more about it because we're getting up close to the top of the hour here. So we'll kick off the 3 o'clock hour. We will reset that news about Chris Herndon, and we'll talk more about the drug issues here. We'll read some more of your texts. We've got a lot to get into on this Friday afternoon. Stay tuned here on QAM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.